cool? It's not just the kids we want to thank, too, but I mean, look at this, the sets and everybody who's had a part in putting this together. So, yeah, we thank them, too, the parents. And that's just a fun time. And I thought they did so well. The kids did well. Not too much nose picking or anything like that, you know, which you might expect, but it's okay. That's all right. Well, we're going to continue on a story theme today. Ezra leaned over and shook his friend. Akeem, my brother, it's time to wake up. It's your watch. Akeem turned over and shook his head no and grunted a little bit. Ezra smiled. I know. Come on, my eyes are heavy, and it's your turn. Akeem sat up slowly, rubbed his eyes and face, and sat against the rock wall. The two shepherds were leaning against the stone sheep enclosure with a wooden gate between them. The two friends watched separate flocks out a few rolling hills beyond Bethlehem's city limits. They watched each other's flocks and each other's backs. One could not be too careful between the occasional desert lynx or a lion or the thieves who would grab sheep if they could get away with it. Sometimes other shepherds pilfered sheep as they moved from flock to hill. They moved their flock from hill to hill in search of good grass. Sheep were the all-purpose animal. Desired by most, they provided food, milk, wool, and even supple leather for riding or food and water skins and even for clothing. Only the rich could afford cattle and for eating, and the rest of the people had an occasional lamb at a wedding or a temple feast. But everyone drank their milk or spun their wool for clothing. Akeem was still trying to shake off the 4 hours of sleep. Ezra tossed him the leather bag with bread and cheese in it. This will help. Akeem reached for a small loaf of bread, broke off the end, and started chewing. He looked up at the night. Stars filled the sky from horizon to horizon, and a small sliver of a moon hung above the gentle landscape. One of the sheep poked her head out of the slats in the gate and nuzzled Akeem. He scratched the ewe's ears and said, maybe you'll be lucky enough to be a sacrifice at the temple. Jerusalem was just 6 miles away. Ezra smiled, yes, and you can fatten up a priest. Now, there's a noble calling. Akeem was still shaking off sleep as Ezra began to settle down on the ground. He had his extra robe on. He had dug a shallow hole for his hips, which made the outdoor rest more tolerable. Akeem pointed to the hills around them. Have you ever thought that King David watched his father's sheep on these same hills before he was king, maybe even on this hilltop? Akeem swung his arm around his head as if he were ready to fire a rock from a sling. Ezra looked at him. All the time, brother. What Bethlehem shepherd hasn't, huh? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he trailed off. Yeah, when David was shepherd, then king, he lent honor to our profession. It was a noble calling. Now, not so much. We can't even testify in court, in all likelihood, because of the rampant thievery of our kind. Half of the days of Moses, David, and Amos. Then our neighbors would look at us with respect. He settled down on the ground with his hands in back of his head. Watch well, Akeem. I will dream well. But Ezra couldn't close his eyes. Akeem. Akeem looked over at him. Ezra pointed up. Look at that bright star. Is that getting bigger? Akeem's eyes grew larger. Holy, what in the name of all that's sacred? Ezra sat up with a start. It looks like it's coming straight at us. They got up on their haunches as if to run, but they were immobilized by the incongruity of it all. Look out, Akeem cried as they both bent down and instinctively covered their heads with their hands. They braced for the impact, eyes scrunched shut, heads trembling. But no impact came. Instead, they heard a deep, authoritative voice. Do not be afraid. The two young men opened one eye and turned their heads, pivoting on the ground toward one another. Ezra whispered, did that star just talk? Again, the voice called out, do not be afraid. Easy for you to say, thought Akeem. They both slowly lowered their hands to the dirt and lifted their heads. And in front of them, and about a shepherd's staff off of the ground, hovered a large man with a sword sheathed at his side and his hands on his hips. The king whispered, "I think that's an angel." Ezra looked down and looked up again. The large man was glowing. The whole area was glowing. The shepherd looked around, and the area where the sheep enclosure was just like daytime. Out to the sides, night still grabbed the horizon. Ezra whispered back, "I think you're right, an angel." The two seemed frozen, unsure of what to do. They couldn't look away from the large man with chiseled features and authority exuding from him like the light. He looked back and forth at the two, right into their eyes. It seems he wanted their attention. Fortunately, his eyes looked kind, even twinkled a bit, as if there were some deep joy within. "Do not be afraid," he said for the third time. And I think they actually heard him this time. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The angel paused as if to let that sink in. By now, our shepherds were slack-jawed. The king whispered, "Micah, the prophet Micah." Ezra turned to him. "What? What are you saying?" "Micah the prophet told about this. I learned it in synagogue. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, of ancient times. This is it. The Messiah has come to rule, and he rises out of our town, Bethlehem." The angel didn't seem to mind their dialogue. In fact, he seemed to approve. Ezra repeated what stuck with him. "Christ the Lord, Messiah, born here? Whoa, it just seems sooner than I expected, even though we've all waited for years." The king was incredulous. "The Messiah, born today, oy." The angel saw it was time for part two of the instructions. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now the shepherds' looks turned quizzical. Every newborn was wrapped in cloths to keep limbs straight and to mimic the womb. But to find him laying in an animal feeding trough, they both mouthed the words, "Feeding trough, that's a sign?" Ezra nudged Akeem. "Look, the angel's a sign for sure, but a feeding trough, that just seems kind of slight to me." But before Akeem had a chance to answer, suddenly, like a clap of thunder, the whole sky was ablaze with angels, all strong and joyous. And the two tried to look up. It was like looking not at one sun, but at many suns in the sky. Akeem whispered, "I think it's another sign." The angels were saying things like, "Praise Jehovah," and "Holy God," and "Blessed be our God and Creator." There was an ongoing hum of praise from the sky. And then, as if on cue, they all spoke loudly, and it was like just like a very loud trumpet. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." Oh, it was so loud the two wanted to cover their ears. Almost wanted. And then, as quickly as it all happened, the angels receded into the sky like rocks from a sling, each looking like a moon getting smaller, and then, poof, it was over, and they were alone. They blinked, eyes adjusting once again to the dark night sky, the stars above, in the suddenly quiet countryside. Ezra and Akeem looked at one another. "Did that really just happen?" Akeem jumped up and started to run for Bethlehem. Ezra jumped up. Akeem called out after him, wait, where are you going?" Ezra turned, eyes shining, "To Bethlehem to see this marvelous thing." And then he turned to run again, but Akeem called after him, wait, come back. What about the sheep?" Ezra turned and shrugged. "What about them?" "Ezra, we just can't leave the sheep. It's our job." He looked deflated. "Oh, you're right. Lions, thieves, oh, for the love of the blessed prophet. What are we going to do?" Akeem stood there looking at the sheep and then looking into the sky. And he thought back on all that the angel had said. And he started to pace. Hold on. The angel said the Messiah was born. It's the Lord and Savior. And he snapped his fingers. And he said, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." He smiled as if hitting on something big. Ezra looked at him, head crooked and browse through it. What does that have to do with our sheep? He said, you will find the baby. God intends for us to go find the baby. Ezra began to catch on. So if God wants us to go, he'll watch the sheep. Hakim smiled. Let's go. And off they went, robes flapping behind them, sandals slapping the ground. They covered the few hills outside Bethlehem, got to the outskirts, and stopped to catch their breath. Now, what is it we're looking for? Ezra cleared his throat. He said, sorry, a manger. Where are most of the feeding troughs? The king pointed. Well, those caves over there have most animals. Let's check there. Now they slowed their pace to a trot, especially when they got to the area where there were several caves. They passed a few. They were dark, with no sound but the occasional animal snort from within. Then they came to one that was lit. Several clay lamps had been set up here and there in the cave. Hakim and Ezra slowly entered. A young woman was leaning back against a wall cushioned by hay. A young man jumped up protectively, standing between the shepherds and apparently his young wife. He looked at the two outdoorsmen, plainly dressed, poor in appearance. What do you want? Ezra half bowed, trying to look non-threatening. We're looking for a newborn baby in a feeding trough. The young man's eyes appeared as big as a round of cheese. How did you know? A small cry sounded. The two didn't appear to mean any harm. The young man stepped aside, and behind him and next to the young woman was a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. Instinctively, the shepherds dropped to their knees. Tears came to Hakim's eyes as he looked at the baby and said, "The Messiah, blessed be God." The young couple looked at each other, both taken aback. Just then, another man and woman came into the cave carrying extra water skins, some blankets, and a couple towels. The man looked concerned at visitors this time of night. I'm the innkeeper. This is my cave. What are you doing here? The two shepherds jumped up, joy radiating from their faces. We were sent by an angel. It's just as he told us. The mother and father and the innkeeper and his wife looked dubious, shooting glances at one another. The innkeeper made note of where the pitchfork was, should he need it. Ezra saw their concerns. Well, let's back up a little bit. Tonight we were minding our sheep a couple of hills west of here when we were visited. And then he proceeded to tell the whole story, which was punctuated by Akeem's interruptions, filling in the details. Ezra finished the account. And the angel told us we would find him just like this. And he pointed to the baby in the trough, cushioned by hay. I would not have believed it if I hadn't seen it myself. I believe the angels, the visitation. It's all too much. This sign is fulfilled. Here is the baby. Here is my Lord. At this, the shepherd dropped to his knee again. The young couple exchanged knowing glances, but the innkeeper looked thoroughly puzzled. The king picked up on this. Have you heard of Micah? The innkeeper replied, well, you mean the prophet in the scripture? I've heard it on occasion. Hakim said, look, I learned this in synagogue. Listen to this. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. The innkeeper was still trying to put it all together. You're saying that this baby is the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from long ago? Ezra jumped up. Exactly. Now think about this. This couple just happened to come to Bethlehem. Not their decision, but because of Rome and the census. It just happened to coincide with the timing of this birth, right? We just happen to have been visited by one mighty angel and a whole sky full of them as a sign tonight. The other sign was we would find the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a feeding trough now. There might be several newborns in Bethlehem these days, but how many would be placed in a manger, in a feeding trough? Then there's the prophecy Hakim recited from Micah. That's 700 years old. The innkeeper mused. Well, yes, and my inn just happened to be full, so there was no choice but to have this young couple stay here with a feeding trough as the only place to lay a baby. Hakim chimed in. Oh, I bet this young couple could tell a few stories of their own, huh? The young woman nodded. The young man said, oh, the things that have happened in the last year. That young man got a faraway look in his eyes as he thought about the dream God gave him months ago to instruct him to remain married to a pregnant woman. He had struggled recently. I mean, even if you have a dream from God, the farther you get away from that dream or that word, the easier it is to get foggy about the details. But this visit from the shepherds helped him remember what God had said. The innkeeper's wife left the water, towels, and blanket with the young woman and joined her husband again. I believe, she said, there's just too much here for coincidence. Her husband put his arm around her. All right, I can see I'm surrounded. And he raised his other arm as if to surrender. But really, what I think is, this gives me hope. Look, I'm a Hebrew, but I don't practice much. But if God appeared to a poor young couple and does business with them, and then sends angels to a couple of vile shepherds, no offense, none taken, Hakeem said. Well then, finished the innkeeper, if Messiah deals with average poor folks, not just with the high and mighty, then there's hope for someone like me. The young mother smiled and looked at the baby. Her husband had already said that his name would be Jesus. It meant Yahweh saves. She wondered if that was significant. Then she thought back to the visit by the angel Gabriel, wondering if it was the same angel who spoke to the shepherds. Another angelic sign. Another confirmation. This baby was not your average newborn. Hakeem and Ezra bid farewell to their new friends and began to walk back to their sheep. Ezra elbowed his friend. Hey, can you believe what a night this has been? Hakeem rolled his eyes. No, my family's going to think I'm crazy. I'll absolutely have to bring them back to the baby before the census is over. Ezra looked at him. Did you hear what the innkeeper said? Hakeem's brow furrowed. Well, which part? Well, if the angels appear to some poor young couple and vile shepherds, then there's hope for me. Hakeem shook his head. I know, it's just amazing. Ezra grabbed his friend by the arm. Just think about it. God Almighty foretold 700 years ago of this baby being born here in our town. And he told us about it. He gave us the sign. He didn't give the sign to the Roman prefect. He didn't appear to Elihud, the fantastically wealthy businessman. He appeared to a couple of poor shepherds. We can't even testify in court. But we can tell about God's visit and the Messiah. Hakeem ran his fingers through his hair. Holy heaven and all that's sacred in the temple. God cares for us. Us. He knows about us. He knows we're here. I mean, who are we? Nothing. Yet God knows. And he cares. There's hope for us. There's hope for anyone. Tears came to Akeem's eyes. Ezra agreed. That's incredible. Dawn was beginning to creep over the town in back of them. Wait, he said, the sheep. Oh, I've been worried about the sheep. The stone enclosure was catching the first rays of sunrise. The two ran up the last hill and did a quick nose count. Every sheep was accounted for. They sank down backs against the stone wall, watching the sun beam through the clouds on the horizon. Ezra shrugged. And I feel a little, here he was struggling for the right word. Sheepish? If God called you and me, I mean, included us in this night of miracles in Messiah, I mean, I'd forgotten. He can very easily watch a few sheep. Hakeem put his hand on his friend's shoulder. David's psalm has never meant more than it does right now. The Lord is my shepherd. It's fun to imagine the old story of the shepherds watching their flocks by night. What strikes me about revisiting this story is the faith that they all had here. The faith to believe the angel and actually run into Bethlehem. I mean, everybody in the story exercised faith. Mary, believing what was told her about the one that was born. Joseph, obeying God right away and marrying a pregnant girl, he knew that he wasn't the father. The wise men traveling all that way to see the King of the Jews by faith. And then the shepherds, believing what was said about the baby, putting into practice the scripture they knew. Do you, this morning, have faith to believe what God says? We all have to exercise faith. We can be just like these people as we believe what God has said to us and put it into practice. Is he your shepherd? I sincerely hope so. Would you join me in a prayer as we close? Lord, thank you for the story of the shepherds, the wise men, Joseph and Mary and everything. Lord, thank you for all that you did so many years ago for us. Thank you for the faith they showed. Lord, would you help us just as a people, your people, to exercise faith, to believe what you say and to act on it, to live our lives by it. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the end of our service. If you would like prayer, we'll be